Hey everyone, welcome to Buzzing About Romance. This week's episode is sponsored by author Melanie Moreland. I have it seven times in my notes. Did you read that? Anyway.
Also, yeah. Did you see how you spelled sponsored the first time?
Yep. Step into the laugh out loud world of My Favorite Boss, where office romance takes a spicy turn. Meet Alexander Bain, a man as grumpy as he is irresistible, and Magnolia Myers, the assistant who is charming as she is frustrating. Sparks fly in the workplace, tales of witty banter, stolen moments, and undeniable chemistry. Get ready for a steamy ride through the office halls in this unputdownable romance, available now on Kindle Unlimited, paperback, and audiobook. Ready to meet your next favorite boss? So joining me this week for our episode is Jenny. Hi, Jenny.
Hey, Becky.
And Leah. Hi, Leah.
Hi, everybody.
So, happy autumn. Isn't today like the fall solstice?
The first day of fall, yes.
Yeah, happy autumn. I know we've talked about this before. I am not
as hot as balls today. It was not autumn, though.
We had a freaking monsoon of rain this
afternoon. We didn't have that. It was like 84 today.
Yeah, it was hot. Okay, so it is technically pumpkin spice, apple cider season.
I like apple cider.
I'm an apple cider girl.
Thank you. Because pumpkin spice is gross.
I agree.
It's probably the most controversial thing I'm going to say tonight. I am not team bitch. Pumpkin spice. I'm just saying. I'm just not.
I will ingest the pumpkin spice. But if I have to pick, I will always pick an apple cider.
Now, I like a good pumpkin bar, but it can't have too much nutmeg. Or pumpkin pie spice. Not a fan of that.
Jeremy thinks he really likes pumpkin pie.
Oh, I don't.
But he does not. He likes whipped cream. And a sliver. Yeah.
He likes some whipped cream with his pumpkin pie with his whipped cream.
Yeah.
I am a pumpkin roll fan, but again, it's basically a bar as a Swiss roll. And I like a good Swiss roll.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's how I like my pumpkin spice things. Like,
cake.
I like small slices of pumpkin pie, but it can't be too pumpkin spicy. It has to be more pumpkin-y. And I do like a pumpkin roll.
Our local ice cream shack had their flurry of the month this month was caramel apple pie.
Oh, that sounds
amazing.
When
I tell you how delicious this was, I have been thinking about it all weekend. And I made a chocolate cake the other day, so there's no justification to go to the ice cream shack, but I am so tempted.
But do you need justification to go to the ice cream shack other than wanting ice cream?
Well, I feel like, you know, I should eat the chocolate cake at home first before I go buy ice cream.
Well, you need ice cream to go with your cake.
This is true.
I do have vanilla ice cream in combination. The freezer. Anyway, the caramel apple pie flurry. 10 out of 10 recommend.
I do like a caramel apple pie, so.
Apple cider donuts, too, like a yellow cakey donut.
So we got an Aldi. It is amazing.
I love my Aldi.
Honestly, our Aldi has the nicest floors ever, and I sound like such an old lady when I say that, but they are really nice. So anybody I talk to, I'm like, how about those floors? They're like, they're really nice, aren't they? I'm like, yeah, they are. But anyway, they had apple cider donuts there today.
Did you buy some?
But I did not buy them. Because I knew I would eat them all.
Aldi Baked Goods, they have these cranberry oatmeal cookies. I eat them for breakfast because they're like a granola bar.
Like a breakfast cookie.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway.
I do like their baked goods.
We should probably talk about romance books, right?
Right? Why would we do such a crazy thing?
I just felt like we needed to check in because you guys haven't been on a Sunday episode in a couple weeks.
It has been a hot minute.
It's been like 4 weeks, you know, since my emergency.
I don't think I've been on any episodes for like 4 weeks. It's been kind of weird.
Yeah. Well, I kind of made the executive decision to give everybody a little bit of a break on the Sunday episodes for a couple weeks because this fall going back to school life was life and hard for a lot of us.
Yeah. It was
Yeah, it
like
was.
re-entering orbit. It was a little bumpy.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why this year was so bad, but it was bad.
So it just worked out. I mean, we've had some amazing guests in our previous episodes. I mean, like Natalie Kenya and Angelina M. Lopez. Like, hello. Rachel came back last week and we finally talked about pregnancy after 2 years.
years of talking about it.
Which that episode did way better than I thought it would. I thought there'd be a lot more like hate about pregnancy. Because, I mean, come on, how many of us here? Oh, that's my least favorite trope. I hate that trope.
I think it's, but like I was talking to you the other day, I think it's one of those tropes that people really enjoy but don't want to admit that they really enjoy.
I mean, again, I like it to be messy.
Which is funny because I feel like you can't admit that you don't like pregnancy, like when you're pregnant.
Yeah.
And I
Oh.
hated being pregnant.
I was not afraid to say I did not like being pregnant, and these people needed
So
evicted.
I did an author spotlight with Bryn Asher. It hasn't released yet, but she was talking on the episode about how she has three children and she's like, I really did not like being pregnant. And afterwards, she's like, was that really bad to say? I'm like, no, because you are not alone. And also, do not feel bad that you did not enjoy your pregnancy.
I was the
She's
worst
like, I
pregnant
did
person
really like
ever.
enjoy my children, but being pregnant was not fun.
I love my kids. I mean, they're adults now, but I do like them. They're a little
I love
extra.
my children. I don't always like them.
Mean, they're a little extra, but whatever. Anyway, but we do have a topic for this episode. Melanie Moreland sponsored the episode. She helped us pick the topic. We wanted it to coincide with her latest release, My Favorite Boss, which if you haven't read it, it's available now wherever you get our ebooks available with Kindle Unlimited. The audio and paperback are available everywhere. So on this episode, we are diving into one of the most entertaining, endearing, and I put rom-com tropes, but as I was going through my list, I think that there is argument that this is just a really great romance trope.
I honestly, I think I only have three, maybe four rom-coms on my list. That's it.
Yeah. So on this episode, we are discussing the fish out of water trope. This is the trope that is awkward. It makes you uncomfortable in the awkwardness of these stories. Oftentimes, you are cringing at some of the stuff the characters are doing. This is the one where characters find themselves completely out of their element, facing a new challenge, hilarious mishaps, and of course, the unexpected love. Whether it's a city girl navigating small life or a nerdy scientist stuck in a high society gala. Oh, I didn't even think about those. Some of those,
Really?
like Emmy Leone's, her STEM,
Yeah.
some of those would be great fish out of water. Okay. It's basically we're looking at unfamiliar territory and having to learn how to function in an area that is not your comfort zone. We're here to chat about why this trope works so well, share some of our favorite fish out of water romances, and as always, give you plenty of recs for your TBR. Plus, we'll share your favorites if you put them in the chat. So stick around and let's get into this. So first, I think before we like give the book recs, we've got to define exactly what we mean fish out of water. Because I think it means something a little different for everybody.
I would agree.
So fish out of water is in reference in the romance, like we're just talking in the romance genre, right? The fish out of water trope refers to a character who finds themselves in an unfamiliar, uncomfortable environment, the awkward. Often feels out of place or unprepared for the challenges they face. This could be someone moving from a big city to a small town, entering a different culture, or navigating a new social class. And actually, Leah, you said you weren't sure you had a ton of recs for this, but what about the civilian that ends up in the middle of a suspense?
Well, and actually, like as we were talking, I thought of like four or five other books that I hadn't come up with because I did not go like rom-com
Yeah.
like focused. I went more the other direction with most of my recs, and so like I keep thinking of different ones.
So in this trope, the tension in the story is going to be the out they're outside their comfort zone, and it can create humorous and heartwarming moments while the romance develops as they adapt and grow and ultimately find love in unexpected places. I also think that one of the things that this trope highlights the best is loving someone where they're at. High society, the billionaire doesn't need the girl to have to wear the high heels.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's there to support him. She can wear the flats.
Yeah.
You know, she doesn't have to be body perfect with no hair out of place. Love someone where they're at. And I feel like fish out of water kind of amplifies that under the microscope. Okay, so let's talk about the good and the bad of this trope. In rom-com, I think it sometimes can come out over the top. And I'm thinking of,
yeah.
It's funny, as I was going through the lists and stuff that are out there, the one that comes up the most as the top fish out of water rom-com for romance is It Happened One Summer by Tessa Bailey.
Yeah.
Which we all know is her Schitt's Creek fan fiction inspired romance.
Yep.
But that book is so over the top.
Yeah. We'll say that.
I feel like, so Jenny, I feel like right. If you, okay, there's no Jeremy. We're going to do hypothetical here. I feel like that if you are an intelligent human, if you somehow connected to a billionaire and had to function within his world, sitting down at a fancy over the top dinner, you'd be able to pull your shit together enough.
Right.
You might spill your drink.
Yeah.
You might spill your water, but you're not going to be completely. I mean,
that's almost a guarantee.
I will. I'm a spiller. But you're not going to be so ridiculous that you're going to show up in a fancy high-end gown at a fishing boat.
Oh, geez. Yeah.
Right? Yeah. I mean, I think that, so sometimes I think it's used in the rom-com and we get the extreme.
As a shtick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I do think that it becomes over the top, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Believability is the other piece. Is he so stupid that he bought a ranch but doesn't know what side of the cow to get the milk from? Do I mean? Like, the believability of it. If he's wealthy enough to be...
We're having the same thought, Leah.
I know.
What are you having?
I know we are.
What?
You don't get milk from a side.
The underneath side?
Like, you can get it from either side. You get it from underneath.
But you don't get it out the top.
The bottom. No, but the top is not a side.
Whatever.
The top is the top.
Top, bottom, who cares? It's believability. Like, if he's smart enough to be a billionaire, he's going to know where the milk comes. He's not going to try to milk a steer.
Yeah, that's...
Okay. That's a better analogy than which side.
Cheese and rice. But do you know what I mean? Like, the believability of it. Like,
right, yeah.
So I was thinking, when we were talking just now, like, Emmy Leone's, her STEM books, there's the one where the girl is, well, the very first one, The Wrong Gift, where she...
I had that on my list.
Like, she accidentally, like, leaks information. And she's trying to fix it, but she's not... stupid, she just isn't fully put together.
Well, and I like actually like Krista's nanny series, like those, like they're not nannies, they're kind of thrust into the nanny world and they're all good at other things, but like taking care of these kids like creates that fish out of water chaos. And like some of the things that Krista makes them do is a little over the top and chaotic, and it's delightful at the same time. But like that entire series, like the men are kind of the fish out of water in the case where they're now caring for these kids, but the women are too. So it's like both sides of that. But then you have those added elements of their relationship dynamics and like coming together as on top
Plus,
of that.
Plus there's a scene in The Nanny and the Beefcake where Libby throws dildos at his head.
I mean, that's their meet cute.
I mean, that's essentially the best.
Yeah.
But it's awkward, right? Because you just got arrested for fling. The other book I was thinking of was Sawyer Bennett's Codename Omega, which was the last book in her Jameson Security Force series. They have a meet cute at the vet office, and the guy shows up accusing her of stealing the dog from his puppy mill, and which he takes it. And then the next time, because he's going to the pet store the next day to get stuff for the dog, and there she is, been protesting it and is getting arrested. And she's a veterinarian, so we know she's not stupid. It's just she doesn't quite fit into the town. Her passion is getting her in more trouble than it's.
Well, but even so, like, it doesn't have to be that over the top either, because, like, in King, which is Sawyer's latest release, she's coaching Pee-wee hockey, but she knows nothing about hockey. So it's like there's that small, like, element to the story where she's, like, out of her, like, realm of, like, normal. So it doesn't have to be, like, this over, like, overzealous moment in the book itself. It can be just, like, small, right, and it still works.
Another thing in the fish out of water trope is this is not always in rom-coms. We can see it in mafia. We can see it in Hollywood norm or rockstar norm romances. Also, yeah, virgin romances.
I also have like By Awakening.
Oh, sure.
That's a really good one too.
Yeah.
Because you're not quite sure.
Yeah.
How that function, like, looks or works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a great one. I didn't even think about that.
Well, that's almost like the emotional, like, fish out of water. Like, you're not sure, like, where you belong emotionally.
I think it's also something you can see in, like, a widower type romance. Like, they're still in grief, but now they have to learn how to function and re-fall in love with someone new. So it's kind of that second chance at love can also have a little bit of that fish out of water vibe.
Yeah.
Okay, so one of the things that I did is I came up with a list of movies that are some classic fish out of water, so that if you're trying to think if you have books on your TBR or that you read, would they be considered a fish out of water? So I went ahead and I made a list of movies because this helped me think of what books to pull. So first up, Legally Blonde, Elle Woods, you know.
Yeah.
The typical blonde, airhead, fashion-forward sorority girl enters the unfamiliar world of Harvard Law School. The Proposal, that's the Sandra Bullock, Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah. When they go to Alaska.
With, is it Betty White dog in that book?
Yes.
Or in that movie?
Yeah, I love the dog gets snatched by the hawk.
Yes. The hawk. I love that movie so much.
The Princess Diaries. So kind of that makeover moment. Isn't always necessary and always the best thing.
Well, and she also gets, like, hey, you're a princess, you suddenly have all these responsibilities.
Right. The Sweet Home Alabama, which, again, she's returning to her hometown. But he's also a little fish out of water in those moments, too.
Is more of a, like, the fish out of water because, like, she didn't feel like she fit there.
Yeah.
And so it's like
she outgrew the small town. Element.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Devil Wear Prada. Andy is the down-to-earth journalist, enters the high-stake world of fashion as an assistant to a powerful editor. And I think that's a really good highlight of, like, the billionaire.
Yeah.
Like, you just kind of are entering in as an assistant, and you end up thrust into places that you're like, what? I don't know what I'm doing. So before we go forward to give you our books list, today's spotlight is on My Favorite Boss by New York Times bestselling author Melanie Moreland. Step into an office where grunts and growls from Alexander Bain meet the snarking charms of Magnolia Myers. What begins as a mutual frustration quickly turns into a battle of wills and lips. There's so much kissing in this book, you guys. So much kissing. Magnolia is determined to hold her hand or to hold her own, but when the tension breaks, neither can resist. This grumpy sunshine romance promises office drama, sassy dialogue, unforgettable chemistry. Available now on Kindle, paperback, and audiobook. If you're looking for a fun, steamy escape, My Favorite Boss is here for you. I do recommend this book. I did the author spotlight with Melanie. She gave me a free copy. There is the grumpiest, moodiest cat in the entire world in this book. Like, he's his own character. So if you haven't read it and you're just looking for a fun, easy breezy Melanie read, check it out. It's so
I
worth
really
it.
Enjoy her rom-coms.
And Alexander, the boss, he's so grumpy. Like, we thought last night's hero from book club was grumpy. He's got nothing on Alexander. He's a grumpy.
Yeah, but is
grumpy.
Alexander an asshole or just grumpy?
As asshole as a Canadian author can make him.
I mean, so he's a kind asshole.
I mean,
is he like Richard grumpy?
No, but I would say okay. That like if Richard is her grumpiest hero.
Well, Richard's not really grumpy. Richard's just a dick.
So then you have Richard. And then I would say Roman is pretty high up there. Max okay, is kind of an fair. Asshole. And then Alexander. Like, Alexander and Max's grumpiness are pretty...
Okay.
Pretty close.
Yeah, Max wasn't an asshole. He was grumpy.
He was grumpy. But Roman was a little bit of an asshole, but also grumpy.
Yeah.
But also, you know, Canadian mafia.
Well, and I will say when Melanie writes like fish out of water, like usually her, like if it's a female character, they are smart about it. Like they're not making fools of themselves. They're like, I'm going to figure this out.
Yeah. And basically, so the premise of this book is Alexander cannot keep an assistant. He hates them. He thinks they're all inept. He ends up firing them. They're not dumb. They just aren't mind readers. And Magnolia...
He wants magic and a miracle.
And Magnolia is determined that she's going to stick. So no matter how mean he is or no matter what heat challenge he throws at her, she just keeps showing up. And
I like that.
It's so funny. It's so funny. And the audiobook, it's John Lane and Maxine Mitchell. So you knew I was in, right? Like, nobody second guessed that one.
I do like me some John Lane.
He does Hero which is my book of the week. Anyway, well, gave that away. Spoiler. Okay, so let's talk about books. So what books do we think are some great examples of fish out of water? Just give us the title, author, if you want to say why they're fish out of water, or maybe just tell us what like subgenre trope-ish thing they would go into, like, is it small town? Is it rock star? Is it Hollywood? Is it mafia? Is it really a rom-com? Just because I know you all were like, I'm short on my list. I was not short on my list.
Well, but I don't like now that I added more after we talked about it.
I always laugh when you're like, oh, my list isn't very long. And then we get on here and you're like 35 in.
I mean, who's to say it's 35 is a long list, though.
That's true. But I also think one of the things that happens as we do this episode, which is part of the reason we keep doing them, is as we redefine these and shake these things out, we all think of, oh, wait, that book would fit for that. Or, mm-hmm. Oh, wait, I really like that. And, you know, I notice that when we talk about, like when we do the Wednesday episodes a little bit, I notice that a lot, too, that things that, you know, maybe like we're itching in my brain, but I didn't quite know how to put them to words. But as we talk about it on a Wednesday, I'm like, lemons don't grow in Virginia. Like, and everybody is like, yeah. So, you know, there's just little things like that, that these episodes are great at helping us build those lists and remember the books and talk about all the things. Okay. So Leah, go first. What do you got? Give us two and then we'll move on.
Actually, I have my first one is really like blatant, but it is called Fish Out of Water by Josie Watt. It is Janice Whitaker's rom-com pen name. So the heroine actually accidentally rents a or buys, I can't remember if she rents or buys a house in like an old folks community. And so like, and then the hero is visiting and it's just chaos and wonder, and it's a really good read. It's book one of her rom-com series. And there is like a stolen fish like part to it too, hence the fish.
I mean, there's a stolen fish. You got another one?
The Owner by Xavier Neale. So she inherits a hockey team, but she doesn't really know anything about hockey. And so it's kind of the dynamic of trying to learn the business on top of finding out that she shtupped the one of the players in Vegas and then ended up pregnant. I mean, I think they might have ended up married too. But yeah, it's like this whole thing, but I really like Xavier Neale's books, and she is an author who like does not get enough attention. But yeah.
Okay. What do you got, Jenny?
My top one had to be Nerd, hashtag Nerd by Cambria Herbert. It's a nerd and jock, and there's a little bit like suspense element to it. It does stand alone, but there's a whole like saga that follows it. And then a second one, this is kind of the obvious too, is The Sound in Silence by M.L. Philpott. It's her Little Mermaid retelling. And the heroine is selective mute and kind of like thrown into an arranged marriage and shipped off to New York, and good luck.
Yeah. Susie in the chat, she took it out, but I have to agree with her. She had Fourth Wing in there because the heroine in that book thinks that she's going to be more of the scribe, the intellectual side of the society, and she ends up becoming a dragon rider. And, you know, because of her disabilities, the physical fitness of it makes it a little harder for her to, you know, to do that. So she's not, it's a society and a world that she knows, but physically, her physicality doesn't align to what would traditionally be in that role. So it creates awkward moments. And so that's an
She
interesting
put it
way to
back
think
in.
about it too, though. You know, sometimes circumstances, because like a nerd, she's incredibly shy and awkward. So, you know, is it her own anxiety that kind of creates the fish out of water moments that she's placed with this jock, you know? So there's, you know, that's working against her, right?
Right, very much so.
So you talked about Owner, Leah, and that made me think of Strictly for Now by Carrie Elks. It's book three in the Salinger brothers. And this one is really different because she's the granddaughter of the owner of the minor league hockey team. But the family brings her in as the new general manager to help fix the finances of the hockey team. But she knows nothing about hockey and she doesn't want anyone to know her connection to the family. Like she's trying to, you know, fly under the radar. And she ends up with the Salinger brother that's the hockey coach of the team. And she knows nothing about hockey. And she flirts with all the players because she has no clue what she's actually like. It's not really flirting, but it's flirting because she has no clue what she's doing.
She unintentionally flirts.
Yeah, well, and she has like she spills coffee on them. If you haven't read that series, it's really cute. I really love that series. And then so Dust Storm by the Griffin Brothers. It's book one in the Griffin Brothers series by Maggie Gates. She's a New York person that's sent to this ranch in Texas that she's supposed to help rebrand market stuff. This is one where I think this is a great example of where it goes too far, and her fish out of water makes her come off as a bitch. Like she's just so awkward and out of place and doesn't know how to function in those parameters that she's just not nice.
I feel like that would be me, like on a farm or a ranch.
I mean, fair.
I feel like that's me in general, so
I mean, as soon as I have to like take care of the poop and then I'm getting it on me and yep, I'd be a
mean,
bitch
it has
too.
the classic scene of she wears heels to
Oh,
come
like to
in to the farm. You know what I mean? Like it's
the
that classic,
farm.
which again, if we all think about rom-coms, fish out of water moments, we all know, it's the heels on the golf course or in the grass or whatever, right? Like, okay, what do you got, Leah?
The Simple Wild by K.A. Tucker. It's small town Alaska, and the heroine goes up there for, it's been a while since I read it, and I think it's her father. There's something with family, but she is very out of place and like just really lost the whole time she's up there.
Do you have another one?
And then
Oh,
I
sorry.
have The Red Zone by Amy Knight. Now this one's a little bit different. So the hero comes home. His mom has passed away, so he comes home to care for his mentally disabled sister. And so like he's dealing with like being present in her life. Like they have a good relationship, but he's a pro football player, and so he's been kind of out of town because he played for a different team, but he has moved home, got traded because of this, like because of the mom passing away. And it's like that element of like becoming the like prime caregiver to his sister, and like the heroine is her teacher or like support person.
Yeah. Jenny, what do you got?
None Too Soon by Alyssa Sharp. That's from the Smarty Pants Romance Universe Bad Habit book club number one. She's a former nun, and then he's like a bounty hunter looking for her brother. So
Awkward.
yes.
Awkward. If you were a fan of Schitt's Creek and the over the top, we mentioned it happened one summer, but Pippa Grant has The One Who Loves You, that was part of a Montlake series. I think she did two books in that world. If you like that, then that is one to check out. So if you liked It Happened One Summer, you should check out The One Who Loves You. Another one that I thought of was On the Line by Naomi Loud. Amanda and I did a quick shot of romance that's in the feed. She's a billionaire heiress, but is being disowned by her family and gets a job as a waitress at a high-end restaurant. And so it's her learning how to function and how to move. Also, real quick, as I was sitting here looking at my list, Baby on a Doorstep is so all those books that we recommended last weekend with Rachel, Baby on a Doorstep is going to be the same as Fish Out of Water.
Yes.
Not sure how to deal with this baby. I'm inept, however that works.
Mean, that's parenthood anyways, but to just like not have any warning.
Right. Leah, what do you got?
I might have Savor It by Tara DeWitt.
Oh, I had that one too.
So Fisher was a chef in New York and moves after his sister passes away to care for his niece. And honestly, like we have a sip and discuss about this book, and it is wonderful and amazing, and everybody should just go read it. And then I also have going like back to like the Mary Carr, Hard and Fast. So Penny is like a nerdy gamer, but like she wants to put herself out there in like the dating world more than she has because she doesn't really have good experiences in that. Engage is kind of a hoe. But it's Hard and Fast by Mary Carr. It's part of her Italian Stallion series. But yeah, just going out into that dating world, like Penny is not confident in, like, she's a very intelligent, very smart,
So would you
but
say books that are basically like the sex coaching that we
dating
talked
coach,
about, dating coach, would those be like more fish out of water? Because if you think of Sandor's book, that's her next gen of the...
The Sebastian Guarantee.
The Sebastian Guarantee. What's the little girl's name?
Or the Phoebe.
Phoebe. I was going to say Penelope, and I knew that wasn't right. Phoebe is like awkward with her hot dog loving, beret wearing chaos. Yeah. And Sebastian's like the cool dude.
I think it depends on the book, because I think sometimes, like, depending on how the heroine is written, whether or not it really comes across as that fish out of water.
Yeah. Okay. Who's next? Jenny, are you next?
Sure. I'll go with the rest of my smarty pants. Rex. Play Smart by Ali Stiles. So he is a musician and he needs to get an office job and he doesn't even know how to make a copy. So that causes some issues. And there's also the Murnuts.
And the Murnuts.
Yes, the Murnuts. And Keychain by Heidi Hutchinson. She is like your stereotypical rock star. Like, she's had plastic surgery. She drugs, sex, rock and roll. Like, she was all of it. And suddenly gets guardianship of her, like, 11, maybe not, like, teenage, preteen sister.
Okay.
And, like, basically goes into hiding to help raise her sister and has no clue what she's doing.
One subgenre I think lends itself really well to fish out of water is royal romances.
Mm-hmm.
So we know Erin Nicole has her reluctant royal, the heroine in that book. She is socially awkward, social phobia, fear of speaking to people, like, the pure thought of, like, talking to someone makes her vomit.
It's the public speaking that's the vomit-inducing. Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's fair.
So she has to figure out how to navigate and falling in love with a prince and what, yeah, like, being a royal will look like. And I think that that is one of those that it's just, it's an easy place to do it, but I find that I'm a little more understanding in a royal romance setting than I am in a rom-com.
Mm-hmm.
Well, none of us, like, there is a very select few people that understand how, right, that actually works.
Right. And then, so Emma Chase has her royally screwed. And she's, you know, like, a baker, owns a pie shop, and he comes in and she's just trying to keep her shit together. And he's, you know, a royal prince and falls in love with her. And so again, you know, taking her back to her family. So it's that norm, average, everyday person coming into this microscope of royalty and pomp and circumstance. So it's that Princess Diaries effect.
Well, but then you have, like, the Carina Halle, like, the Swedish prince, where, like, they meet and he's, like, he comes off as, like, he's a businessman, and then she finds out that he is a prince. So it's, like, but then she's, like, thrust into the spotlight of, like, the royalness, and she is, like, her life is turned upside down because she doesn't know how to deal with that. So it's, like, that, like, added element that she doesn't know that he's a prince going forward.
Yeah.
And I think that Aaron's new book that's coming out, it has that element to it too. The rags to royal. Somewhat.
Somewhat. It's really good. It should be on everybody's TBR. On everybody's TBR. I think it comes out October 3rd. Mm-hmm. But it's not typical fish. It's not fish out of water.
Well, I'm just saying it has those elements to it, but also, like, in the not typical fish out of water, like, so a lot of times in MC romance, you will get that, which seems kind of counterproductive when I say it out loud, but, like, Jeannie St. James and her Down and Dirty series, Down and Dirty Zach. So, like, the heroine, it's book one of that series, but the heroine is a baker, like, has no idea, like, she's kind of, like, separate from it all. Like, she comes in and, like,
She gets a rude awakening, especially when she first meets the hero, because he thinks that she's like a stripper. And so it's like she's thrust into this chaos, and she's a wholesome baker, and he is a down and dirty biker. And there's a few different, like, in that world of Jeannie St. James, like there's some like heroines that come in or like not expected, like expecting like the chaos at the same time as they should expect the chaos, but
What else do you have? Anything else?
yeah, I have Relentless Devil by Kylie Kent in the not typical, because the heroine has nothing to do with the mafia world,
Is that
and
book
Theo, when
one?
he meets, that's book one, but Theo, when he meets her, he's like, she is mine. I'm kidnapping. Does he kidnap her?
Well, he forcibly makes her
Coerces.
move in with
Yeah.
him.
Yeah.
Okay, I was gonna say, well, he essentially kidnaps her,
He
but in
stalks
mafia
her.
romances, like Michelle Hurd's like mafia series, there's a couple where like they're not in the mafia world, and like they're just very touch her and die. Like, I'm gonna kidnap her because.
Theo Valentino might be like the wrong example. I mean, I think you're right. Like, she was definitely fish out of water. She didn't know how to navigate that world at all. But
No.
he didn't really give her a choice. She just kind of
No,
was
but she
told,
is still the fish out
figure
of
it
water
out.
and has to learn how to deal with it.
I love that series so much.
There's a new Heirs like
I
novella
know.
coming out soon.
I
I'm
know.
very excited. So it's like the second gen
Well,
of
third
Theo.
gen.
Well, Theo Jr. So it's technically third gen for that
Yes.
world. But anyway. But yeah, so mafia oftentimes will have that as well, which is not
Dante by Sadie
atypical.
Kincaid. She is kidnapped and forced to live in the world. Okay, Jenny, what do you got?
I got some like Hollywood norm, like yeah, sports. Home Game by Odette Stone. It's book two in her Vancouver Wolves. She is unhoused and he is a player
Oh,
and
yeah.
like takes her in.
That's a good
So,
one.
what I really like about that is she like finds a way to stand on her own before they like become a couple. And then Dirty Like Me by Jamie Dimon. She's like kind of like a girl on the street that ends up in his music video, and then he needs like a fake relationship. So she goes on tour with him and
So I have Fake by Kylie Scott. It is Hollywood norm. And she's a waitress and agrees to a fake engagement with him and has to learn how to function with the Hollywood light. And Lane Hart has a series, her billionaire series, that they're all kind of like fish out of water. Like book one, she's a local Myrtle Beach girl, and he's like, "But I love you," and he's like, a hot software billionaire and stuff like that. But I think that whole the all three books in that series are all very much fish out of water, and it's a good example of the billionaire with the but and so I think in a situation like that, when the fish out of water is because of like the Hollywood norm or the high society, like the paparazzi or the societal
Yes.
expectations tend to play more into those stories. And I actually like them better because I feel like that is more real life. Like if we think about, okay, so not that it's real life, but let's think about like Meghan Markle, right? She was Hollywood. She knew how to function in Hollywood. She marries a royal and cannot function in the British press,
That
right?
world,
Like, it was a whole new world. It's so toxic and harmful. And so I feel like when you take a situation like that, that's real life, like, she's had media training, right? Like, she knows how to function in that world or should, but can't manage it. So when you see something like that, I find it more believable in romance than when we have the royals or the Hollywood norms or the rock stars, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Because I'm like, when I like read those, I think of all the stuff I do on a daily basis, like out in public, and people were constantly taking pictures.
Well, that's just
me,
it.
I mean, just the way I dress on a daily
right?
basis. Like when I went to the bus stop the other day, I literally was in what I slept in the night before because why
Every
not?
day at drop off. Yep.
I mean, I don't walk out my door and have lights flashing at me. I mean, unless the police are here, hopefully they're not. I'm just
Does
saying.
That happen regularly? Like,
well, sometimes the neighbors sell drugs. It happens. Not recently, but it happens. But I'm just saying, like, I wouldn't know how to live under that microscope. So I find
I would not want to live under that microscope.
Me neither. But I find it
that sounds like
believable hell. In romance, in that fish out of water moment when we see the paparazzi styled stylings happening, is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have more books? Does anybody have more books?
I have more books.
Okay.
I mean, I have more books, but if we don't have time for more books,
yeah,
I can
we
just
got
add
time.
Them to the
I have more books to talk about. I have ones I need to talk about. So Jenny, go. More books.
Okay. So some of my like unconventional ones. Rush by Emma Scott. He was an extreme sports journalist. Like he would do extreme sports like cliff diving and stuff like that. He ends up blind from an accident. So he has to navigate like being blind in a seeing world when he like was doing all the things before. In Deconstructing Delilah by Allison Rimes, she basically comes from a cult and has to learn to live in the real world, and she also gets like introduction into
BDSM.
It's not quite BDSM, like
kinky sex, we'll call it.
Yes. Sex. There's a sex club in it.
Yeah. What do you got, Leah?
Well, so thinking of the sex club side of it, like, so Samantha Cole has her Trident series, but book one, so the heroine is an author who comes to the sex club just for research, but like she's never, like she's very out of her element. And then, I mean, by the end of the book, like, she's all in, but it's like it takes a long time because like she's learning about it because she wants to write about it for her books. She's a romance author, and so like she wants her research to be correct. So it's like you get her reactions to like seeing all the things in like that environment, and so it's pretty interesting the way that pans out. But thinking like the cult side of things, like going into like the real world, so Searching for Heather by Susan Stoker. So the heroine had been, I think she had been kidnapped when she was a little girl and like raised in this like society, and then she escapes and like has to like reintegrate to the real world, and like so she's lived in it for years and she doesn't know what a cell phone is, like they had no technology, and just learning all those things and just like finding out who she is. So it's like this whole mess. But then Melissa Foster has For the Love of Whiskey, where Sully like has been rescued from the cult and like is reintegrating into society.
So if we're talking Sex Club, Praise by Sadie Kincaid, you know, just the sheer fact
Sarah Kate.
Sorry. I looked at two different things there.
It's okay.
Praise by Sarah Kate. She is dating her ex's dad, but she's never dabbled in the world of kink. So she's learning about sex toys and being his assistant, plus learning about Praise Kink and if it works for her. And one of the great things that that book does is there's a lot of communication in it to help her figure out what works for her and what doesn't. Like there's lots of checking in. So it's not as awkward of a fish out of water. Another one. So as I sit here and think about it, I was going to say Mastered by Maya Banks, which is book one in her Enforcer series, which is a sex club, kinky billionaire type thing. But I was thinking, Leah, about the KGI books.
Mm-hmm.
Not all of them, but a lot of them you could consider fish out of water.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a little damsel in distress. So I do think that damsel in distress and fish out of water can go hand in hand, especially in a romantic suspense setting.
Mm-hmm.
But I love those books. And now I do have to say, I only think that book one in Rena Morgan's Nolan Knights qualifies as a fish out of water.
You were wondering how you could get her into this episode.
Well, I actually
you?
Went looking and I tried to figure it out. And I feel like all the women in Mena Haven, none of them are really fish out of water.
No.
Because they're all pretty badass. And none of them go in blind. Book one a little bit, but not really.
Yeah, she figures it out pretty quick.
She figures out how it functions.
I mean, Gabby, maybe just because she's such an anxious puppy.
Yeah, but
with stuff,
she
kind of
holds him, his feet to the fire a little bit too, though.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
True.
And she's not in a typical female role either.
Yeah,
right.
She's the mechanic.
Yeah, so her anxiety is just like a separate
thing. But I do love her books. I do think that Rockstar either way can work. So you have the Norm that joins the Rockstar on tour. So like we see in the Janie Diamond book or Jay Salmon's Love to Hate You or Love to Tempt You. But we also see it when the Rockstar goes to the small town.
So Jamie Albright has one. It's Running from a Rockstar. It's book one.
By the way, have you checked out her TikToks lately where she acts the
them.
Part of the small town hairdresser?
Yeah.
And she has like a mannequin wig and she's doing her hair and checking in and giving
like
all the gossip.
Where all the gossip comes from. And yeah, no,
so
I love
funny.
Jamie's TikToks.
They're so funny,
but,
you guys.
Like, so the hero is the rock star and they get married in Vegas and he comes to her small town. And like, it's such a good book, people. If you haven't read it, like, you need to read it.
But yeah, like, so when the rock star comes to the small town, so Devney Perry's The Bribe. She's running, trying to hide out, ends up in Calamity, Montana or Wyoming or whatever, and doesn't really know how to function in small town. Like, she's trying to hide. Strung Along by Hannah Cohen. Jenny, have you read Hannah Cohen yet?
I read one of her books.
She has like the greatest mistake.
I read The Greatest Mistake.
Okay.
Like, or her greatest
you
mistake.
Need to read Strung Along. It's her Cherry Peak series. It's book one in the Cherry Peak series. This is one of those moments as I read an author and I'm reading through the book because they're slow burns, people. As I'm reading them,
like
I'm like.
Slow?
Yeah, like 70%. But there's so much emotion. And Stacey, it was great. So much emotion, so much connection. And as I'm reading the book or listening to the audio, I have this moment where I go, oh, this is a Jenny book. Like, I mean, because, you know, we've all known each other now three, 4 years. And we know each other's reading style. We know what books are going to get you excited. Like, if I can find a breeding kink, I am sending it to Leah because I know that the naughtier it is, the more Leah's going to love it.
It's true.
But like, and if I say to Leah, hey, there's knife play in this, Leah's going to be like, okay. Like, it doesn't make her think twice. Which,
I mean, it's true.
That Misha Stone book that's the serial killer, there's knives and blood play, just so
Ooh,
we're all clear.
Same.
Yeah, see? Leah's downloading that book.
Yeah. And I'm like,
I'm
no,
intrigued.
Thank you.
I mean, I was intrigued before.
It's pretty good.
But now I'm even more intrigued.
But Hannah Cohen, as I have read her books, because I read the three books in her hockey series, and I'm now reading her Cherry Peak. As I read them, I have these moments of, oh, this is a Jenny book. This is Jenny's. It's those small town, it's those mac and cheese, it's those soft reads with really good emotion, really deep connections. But in Strung Along, the girl has left Vancouver. It's the sister of the heroine from Her Greatest Mistake.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Her younger sister. Yeah. Her younger sister has left Vancouver and is moved to this small town in Manitoba.
Which, even in her greatest mistake, she seems a little like, I don't know if naive's the right word for it, but she's
Sheltered.
just kind of,
Yeah. So she moves out to Manitoba, and living in the prairie in the inner part of Canada is a very different than living in on the West Coast. Like, you're talking rainforest versus like snow and desolate. And he's a rock star that's come home to his small town because he's heard his voice and he needs to rest. And they meet and fall in love, and grandma is totally like a meddler. Like,
Oh, I like that.
and there's a cute cow. It's adorable. And his grandfather is like the old staunch Western rancher, you know, we're not changing how we do things kind of thing. And there was just like, you had the family dynamic and the emotions, but she's got to figure out how to live in like really cold Canadian weather, even though she's a Canadian girl. But he also has to figure out, like, it's kind of that Sweet Home Alabama, like, he never felt like he really fit into the small town, and now grandparents are aging, and how does he function and move being home again? So it's really a good series, The Cherry Peak by Hannah Cohen, if you haven't read it. Can't recommend it enough. Stacey asks if In a Jam by Kate Canterbury would be fish out of water, because she didn't know anything about tulip farming.
Not really, because she grew up there.
And they don't really farm the tulips in the book.
Okay.
No.
And Stacey also.
I mean, but although he is raising his niece,
That he's a little bit of a fish out of water.
he's a little bit of a fish out of water in his
Plus,
situation.
the
So I
dog's
would
name is
say
Bernie Sanders,
not the tulip side, but his side.
which is baby on the doorstep, a little bit.
Is that, well,
A little bit.
A little
Well,
bit.
she went to
yeah.
jail.
But they have a dog named Bernie Sanders. That's all I'm saying.
They do.
But it's the 2 year anniversary. I cannot believe that book is 2 years old. Like, it's still,
Really?
like,
Yeah, we're
yeah,
still
Kate
it.
Canterbury posted about it. It's crazy that it's 2 years
She has
old.
a really pretty special edition that she's going to sell on her website, and I'm that one I sent you the post of. Like, did
I
you
know, it
slide
is very
over
pretty.
and
I did.
She's on my
And then I
list
was
for
like,
my
I
next
can't do
tattoo.
this.
So Stacey also brings up that the first three books of the Hidden Legacy series by Iona Andrews, they're all kind of, it's magical nobility. So it's a little the magical
Yeah, I
realism.
had, well, and I had like a couple alien books on my list because those are naturally like the fish out of waters, like Ice Planet Barbarians and like the Anna Hackett series. But it's like those are blatant fish out of water. So it's like you can always go that route as well. Is
And
it?
Stacey brings up that most Christmas Hallmark movies are fish out of water. And they are. They are. A lot of them are the
Ooh,
billionaire.
like it's not your effort fixin'.
He's the fish out of water, though.
Yeah, exactly.
I also like have moments. Be the vixen. Be the vixen. That should be a sticker. Why is that not a sticker?
I will make her a
You
sticker and
should
tell
make her
her
a
she needs to
sticker.
sell it. Yeah.
Okay, so that's our list for Fish Out of Water. Were there any other books we need to talk about before we go on to the next thing?
I think we covered quite a bit. I mean, there's plenty more, but
Yes,
there
there plenty
are.
more.
I will send you my list.
We'll have a list on the
I'm typing my
website
list up now.
on the shelf show notes. So it's that time now, guys. It's
It's that
that
time for
time.
book
Book
of
of the week. It's Book of the
the
Week time. Leah, what's your Book of the Week?
So I have not had a great couple of weeks of reading, but so my book of the week is a couple of weeks old, but God of Vengeance by Michelle Hurd. It is the final book in her Mafia series. So the previous book, it was soft. This one is not soft. It is
Okay.
very good. He's intense. It was a really good wrap up to the series. He was kind of an enigma throughout the series, and we find out like more as to why he was that. And like the relationship with his mom is just wonderful, and like you can understand why he's so closed off, but it was a very good ending, and I was very happy with the way that she created his character.
Excellent. Jenny, what's your book of the week?
Truly, Madly, Deeply by Alexander Bellflower.
Is that the one with the librarian book stacks in the background of the cover?
It's yeah, but she's not a librarian. She is a romance author and like all about the HEA and finds her fiance cheating on her right before she goes on a podcast to talk about love. And her co-host is a family attorney. She calls him a divorce lawyer. And they are actually both bisexual, and there is a lot of great representation and like the way like bi is still bi even if you're in a heterosexual relationship. And there's it balances the funny and the emotions really well. This was one of my first 5-star reads of the year, and it's
Excellent. Excellent. I think it's at Libby, and I think I saw it on Hoopla the other day. So
Oh, okay.
I'm gonna have to check and
Yeah,
see.
I got it from Libby.
My book of the week, I am kind of doing a reread, which I don't do very often these days. But
No.
an opportunity presented itself for me to re-listen to Hero by Lauren Rowe. And if you've been around the podcast, Lauren Rowe is up there with the Rena Morgans, Carrie Elk, Sawyer Bennetts. I love Lauren Rowe's Morgan Family. And if you haven't read it, what is wrong with you? Like, seriously. There are such great stories. And even like Amanda read the Reed Rivers books. And he is such an asshole. And Amanda likes an
Yes.
asshole, but she has other things that he does that she's like. She loved that book. But we recently learned that she's going back into her rock star world. And C-Bomb, who's a character that we've met a couple of different books, we met him in Rockstar, we met him in Reed Rivers, and you meet him in Smitten and Swoon. Anyway, I was like, I am ready to revisit the Morgan. So I started back with Hero. It is, he's a fireman who has a, he's injured in a fire. And love is hard. And it's about love after loss and redefining yourself and that you are ever evolving. Anyway, if you're looking for a good emotional read, go ahead and read Hero. That's all I have to say. Because, real quick, this is really random. It's me, Steve, on TikTok. Like, if you need a good cry, people, read Hero and then go read It's Me, Steve's comment section on one of his videos.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And if you don't know who Steve is, it's Steve from
Blue's
Blue's
Clues.
Clues. So,
Like, tears, people.
yeah,
Tears.
Becky texted the group chat. She's like, who wants a good cry?
And I'm not a crier. We
Yeah.
know this about me. I'm not.
Right. I bawled like a baby.
It's like 50 minutes later.
Yeah, my eyes are red and puffy. Mike's laughing at me at this point. Like, it's a mess. Anyway, Hero by Lauren Rowe. That's my book of the week. You should absolutely check it out. Great emotion. If you haven't read Lauren Rowe, again, what the fuck, people? What the heck? Okay, swag this month was sponsored by author Melanie Moreland. If you're interested in receiving our monthly romance book swag packs, check out our Patreon. We mail these out monthly. They're a lot of fun. And make sure you come back here Wednesday night at 9 p.m. for our discussion of The Brazen One by Daisy Jane, which is our Buzzing About Romance September book club pick. It's a sexy, kinky read. And I think the
They're very
discussion will be
horny.
really interesting. Because there was a lot to unpack in this book, and I will say Daisy Jane was impressive as an author for a
Yeah.
book club.
She, yeah.
And consent is important for her, and she really does think about things. And even if you're not.
Just the amount of research that she puts into her, like, stories was impressive and very appreciated.
I did love that her hobbies are Reddit and true crime. Like, I'm like,
Right.
oh, okay, friend.
We can be friends.
Best friends.
I know. It's like talking to one of us.
So, and then we're back next Sunday, 9 p.m. I have a special guest for the evening. And I think she and I are going to talk about why romance hasn't needs to have an HEA and how you can have books with romantic elements that are not romance books. So it's Lori from What to Read Next podcast. She's coming on and we're going to break down the HEA. So
Nice. That should be fun.
right? Doesn't that sound
Lori
great?
has big thoughts too.
She does. Well, what's interesting with Lori, and I'm excited for that episode because she reads a lot outside of the romance genre too. She does a ton of cozy mysteries, and lots of people will recommend cozy mysteries, and she reads a lot of women's fiction, but the difference of romantic elements versus romance. So I'm excited for the opportunity to chat with her. You can find a list of books we talked about this weekend on our website at buzzingaboutromance.com on our on the shelf show notes. You can find a current list of books for our upcoming Wednesday episodes on our website. As we get past The Brazen One by Daisy Jane, we're headed into Out of This World October. I don't know what else to call it.
Yeah, because it's
Yeah.
not paranormal, but it's not a like it's an eclectic mix
By
of
the end of
October.
October, we will have
Non-human.
hit all the not humans. We will have hit aliens,
But not
shifters.
doors.
What?
Not doors.
Well, no. But we are going to do fays and witches on a Sunday episode. So we're getting witchy. Did you like that pun? Like, neither one of
Yeah.
you laughed.
We were not surprised.
I know. Honestly, I was waiting for it.
Okay. Don't forget to follow us on social media for more updates and join our community of romance readers at buzzingaboutromance.com. You can come join our Discord, join our Patreon, all those things. If you love this episode, please leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform and share it with your friends. Your support helps us bring more exciting content to you every week. Love and laugh awaits in My Favorite Boss. Dive into the steamy office romance that's sure to entertain. Alexander and Magnolia's banter-filled journey is available now in ebook with Kindle Unlimited, paperback, and audiobook formats. Get ready for all the swoon-worthy moments. Grab your copy today and enjoy the fun wherever you love to read. Also, I should say the paperback is in bookstores because it's being distributed by Waterhouse Press. So you can go to your local Barnes and Noble or your Walmart or your Target and grab a copy. Melanie is driving up the coast back to Canada after being in Virginia and North Carolina, and she's stopping at Barnes and Nobles along the way to sign copies.
Is she really? That's
She
exciting.
is. She is. She's so cool about that. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for talking about fish out of water. Thanks to our sponsor, Melanie Moreland, for sponsoring this episode.
Always a good time.
Until next time, everybody.
Happy reading, everybody.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.